Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for everybody that's here and that's not here as well. We're thankful for everyone. Thank you for your joy, Lord. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being so awesome, being so funny, being so kind. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand what you're saying tonight to us. That every person would leave here with something that you've said. And it might not be what I say, but during the, as I'm speaking, that you would speak to each person, whatever, Lord, whatever you want to say. I just pray that we would have ears to hear, ears to hear. We wouldn't harden our hearts, but we'd listen. And whatever you want to say tonight, God, we want to go away looking more like Jesus. Like tomorrow would say, when you see somebody, you've always seen, oh my goodness, you look different today. Yeah, I know. I went to church last night. What do you expect? It's like if you go to spa day, you know, you're going to look different, right? So we just thank you for the Holy Spirit spa night tonight. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you transform us on the inside. Thank you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, any, whoa, I just felt him land. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just keep coming. I pray for grace to stay focused. I know I'm going to be focused, but I just pray for grace for people to stay focused. I know a lot's going on, but just grace to stay focused on what you're saying tonight. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 All right, so I like that. I like it too. Yeah. I'm so amazed at when I read the word and as you guys read the word that this is real. Like that everything we're reading in the word is for us. Like what I'm gonna go over some stuff tonight. Like everything we it's like, it's actually unbelievable that what he's given us and what we have in him and what he offers to us. And so I want tonight to get that same in everybody that they're just like, I want that. I have to have it. So whatever it takes, I want to get there. I want to be a Christian that looks like Jesus.
What's the title?
If God says it's possible, I want it. If God says it's possible, I want it. So, I don't know, maybe, yeah, I think it was just whenever I got this message from the Lord 5 days ago or something, a week ago. We were meeting with some people. Thanks, Dave. All right. We were meeting with some people and I thought we were going to have an opportunity to teach at this ministry school. And so I'm like super excited. I'm like, this is it. This is what's going to be. And then someone even offered, which might happen. I don't know, but they offered they're going to buy this land and then we might live in the little house that they have, whatever. So two things happen in 1 week. And then we meet with the people about the ministry school and doesn't look like it's going to happen. And then I don't know what's going to happen with the land and the house and stuff. But I it shook me. Like, I was so bummed because it shook me. And it shook me that it didn't happen. You know, because I was like, I was telling Dave, I was like, I totally had my hopes up. He's like, I didn't. And I'm like, because you have told me you didn't have your hopes up. I'm like, I'm going to be at a ministry school. Like, I'm all excited. I'm like, you know, because that's kind of what they said. But then it ended up being something different they were offering. It's just like all admin. So Dave and I are like, us doing admin? I mean, that's like, whoa, nightmare. Anyway, if God said to do admin, it would be a miracle if I could do it. Dave's really good at it, but it would be a miracle if I could do it. But anyway, so I'm going to give you how I kind of went down and was disappointed and how I got back up. And that's usually what my messages are, right? It's just I'm giving you a deep look into how God ministers to me. And I was talking to Emma about this and I hate being heavy-hearted. I hate being sad. I don't like this feeling. So I just had to go deep with God of why did that shake me? You know, why did that shake me? Because I want to walk with God in a way, and I realize I'm not perfect at it, but then I'm not shaken by things, very easily shaken. But I was. Because I had my hopes really high. But the thing is, as I was thinking about it, I'm like, okay, Lord, if that's not what you want, I don't want it. Right? So there was this conflict within me, like, why are you disappointed? If that's not what God has, why would you? And I don't want what God doesn't want, but there was a wrestling inside that happened. So, you know, in wrestling, when we're wrestling, I'm wrestling myself, not with God, like wrestling this thing that's going on in me, and I'm wanting him to win, right? I'm wanting, okay, Lord, I'm going to die again to delay. Maybe some of you have delays in your life. Again, there's no delay. It's just his timing. But we say it's delayed. But is it really delayed? No. So anyway, just kind of like I'm thinking I'm this person and then I'm doing this over here. So anyway, just how God, I'm going to share with you how God ministered to my heart. And I pray that you guys, you know, get ministered to as well. So, all right. We want to go to the first scripture. Okay, that's what I want to say. So before I start with this one. So if it's possible, I want it, right? So this is what's possible. Fullness of joy. Mm-hmm. Fullness. The fullness of Jesus. That's possible to live in his fullness. Okay? Am I there? No. But it's promised that we can be there. I want to be there. I want to represent the joy of the Lord. I want to walk in that. You know? Also, healing. Like being completely healed and then healing wherever we go. That's possible. That's what's possible. Being fully healed and healing others. Always fruitful. I'm going to share with you how we can, we're our inheritance, our what's possible is that we can always be fruitful. Always. Always. 24/7. It's possible. I'll share in the word with you how that's possible. So these things, I mean, there's many more things that we have. But walking in the fullness, the love, the fullness of his love and his joy, that's also possible. So I want it. I want to walk in that. And I know each thing we go through, we're getting stronger. As we say, Lord, I want to respond the way you want me to. I want to walk through this like you want me to. You will literally get stronger and stronger and stronger. It's stronger. And that's so encouraging. That we never go through something, unless you give up, right. That you don't get more spiritual muscles, you know, that you don't like, okay, yeah, my down was down, but it wasn't down like before, you know, my down was like, man, I just feel like I need, you know, just the kind of a pickup, you know, and then the Lord started ministering to me, you know, so I'm like, okay, I didn't respond maybe how I did the last time something disappointing happened. But so it's just growing stronger. So that's the encouraging part, is every battle we have, as we let God lead us through it, we're going to get stronger. All right. So I'm going to read this. This is all about the different scriptures that I'm going to share tonight are all about abiding in him, being planted in him, and then what happens when we do that. So this is the first one. So Ezekiel 47, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was oh, weird, interesting, issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced the east. This is the Amplified Version. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple south of the altar. So basically, it's going to get so full. Yes, it's just going to get, so it's going everywhere. The water from the sanctuary, from the temple of the Lord is just going everywhere, going out, right? And then he said to me, to Ezekiel, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. right? So it's the water from the temple is actually making salt water fresh, right? So the water will become fresh, and wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish. So just this river of God, which you're going to see this, the next three, I mean, the scriptures I'm going to read. So wherever the river flows, it will bring life. So we are now the temple of God, right? And the Holy Spirit is supposed to flow out from us. And so wherever we go, we are flowing. We are bringing life where there's death. We are bringing fresh water to areas that are, like it's going to talk about the Dead Sea down below. And we will bring, look at wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. So we'll bring life, right? For this water goes there that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. The river of God through us, the Holy Spirit through us. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. So I just thought about that too, like people that don't want that the Holy Spirit to flood, like to flood and flow from them, they are swamps and marshes where they say no to the Holy Spirit, or they don't even want the Lord. But even Christians that maybe say no to the Holy Spirit, or no, I don't want you to have your way. We're going to talk about what clogs us, what keeps the flow of the Holy Spirit, what keeps us from receiving and then giving. Like what's clogging us? That's something we're going to talk about tonight. So, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month because the water from them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. So this is really amazing. So this is, can you imagine? Like their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. They will bear fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary, right? Never wither. Like, you know, when you hear like people say, oh, I'm burned out, or you hear pastors fall away, they're burned out, or that should never, never, never happen. That should never happen in a Christian's life, you know? Can you move that chair? I want to move around. Thanks. That should never happen. Like, you are receiving. Are you okay, Thomas? You feel sick? Okay, all right. So it should be from the sanctuary. So we are the temple of God, and the water, the Holy Spirit is flooding in us and out, right? And so we will never wither, we will never dry up, and we will always be fruitful. Always be fruitful. So in that, I mean, I just thought that like their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing, right? It's so amazing when you just think of that. Okay, we'll go to the next scripture. Okay. Yes. So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree, here we go again, planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So again, there's that water, right? Mm-hmm. That we're planted, a tree planted by streams of water. Okay, so I was thinking, all right. Okay, I had other notes, but I don't know where they are. Anyway, I'm just going to go. Here we go. All right, so blessed is the man. So this is what would clog somebody. Right? So, like, why is this not for everyone? Why is you're not a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season. So the way to be clogged would be you listen to the counsel of the wicked. You listen to the counsel of those that are not getting their wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Right? Because you take in the opposite. I like to do that. I like to flip it. And I like to figure, okay, how do I keep from, I want to be a tree that's planted. I want to be a fruitful tree. I want to be a fruit, a tree that its leaves never wither. So this is interesting. Like, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So I like to take that to what that looks like now. So the one not in the counsel of the wicked. Can you guys think of, what does that look like nowadays? Like sitting, who walks in the counsel of the wicked. Yes.
I feel like it means that you like listen to worldly wisdom, like yeah. things that the world subscribes to. You're like, yeah. oh, I'm going to subscribe to that too. And like
yep.
wicked doesn't necessarily mean like the most evil thing ever. It's just like a demonic strategy that could be like hidden.
Yeah.
You know, it could be yeah. anything, like all the things you're talking about, programming, like
yeah.
anything like that would be counsel of the wicked.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, that's so good. I think also like the news.
Yeah.
You know, you listen to news and that's not them saying, I waited on the Holy Spirit today and this is the news for today. No, no one's saying that, you know. You know, even I don't know if you guys heard, it's getting political, but anyway. Tucker Carlson came out and just said all the news is lying. They're all lying and we're only allowed to say certain things. So, and I know we know, many of us know that, but I just want you guys to know, if you're listening to news, you're listening to lies.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary, you know? So what we want to be getting is our counsel from the Lord. So those that are asking the Holy Spirit, what are you saying, Lord? What are you saying in this situation, right? Or nor stand in the way of sinners. So standing is agreeing with, right? Standing, what do you guys think that means? Then stand in the way of sinners. Are you raising your hand, Marlon? No, you're just stretching. Okay. What do you guys think that, what does that mean to you?
A group of teenagers all hanging around yeah. doing the same
thing together.
Yep. Yeah.
Getting into mischief or
yeah.
littering or whatever.
Yeah. And what do you think about our age? What do you think that would be? Standing in the way of sinners.
Like the world.
Going
yeah.
along with what everyone else
is
doing. Being conformed to this world.
Yeah.
It's lifestyle. It's what that
yeah.
is. Standing in the way of sinners means you're living a lifestyle that's characterized by sin.
Wow.
And you look the same as
yes.
them too. Because
like you're standing, right?
Yeah.
You're not resisting, right? You're standing. Yeah. So maybe you're not talking, but you're not saying anything. Like you're not coming against what they're saying. You're kind of looking like them,
yeah,
like
yeah.
you guys said that, right? Or sitting in the seat of scoffers, those that ridicule, those that are, this is ESV, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what you asked.
I know. Yeah. Or what do you think that means, nor sit in the seat of scoffers? That's not even standing, that's sitting. Like that's
yeah. You're really comfortable there.
You're real comfortable there. Yeah. And I think unfortunately a lot of Christians are doing this. Right? They're getting their wisdom, they're getting their input from the world. You know, they're standing with sinners, they're not taking a stand, they're not taking a stand for Jesus.
Yeah.
They're just standing with the sinners. And then nor sit in the seat of scoffers, ridiculers, right?
Scorners.
Yeah.
Gossipy people.
Yeah.
Gossip.
Yeah.
They were gossiping. Critical, and saying things aren't true.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It sounds like you don't
want yep, to. Yep, totally. Yeah. So scoffers would, sit in scoffers would be like unbelief as well.
It is
yeah.
unbelief.
That's yeah.
That's really what it's yeah. referring to. People that scoff when you speak about the
yes.
Lord and his ways and his purposes and his law. They
yeah.
scoff it. They're in unbelief.
Yep.
They're in, you know, they've mocked, you know, they might still carry the name, but they scoff.
Yeah.
They roll their eyes when you speak about what God has said, what God is doing.
Yeah.
What he can do. they scoff.
Yeah.
It also, in the original means, the original language means to talk arrogantly.
Oh, wow.
To boast.
Hmm. Yeah. Proud. Wow. Yeah. So all that, you don't want to be in that, right? So it says blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, right? Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So in order to become like this tree that is planted by streams of water, one thing is to love what God says and to meditate, to think about day and night. I was thinking, that's a lot. Like, that's a lot of meditating. That's a lot of taking the word and just letting it wash you and teach you and let God speak to you. Like, this is, our faith is not something that we sit back. It's not a sit back faith. It's like we have to be doing this every day. Now, yes, the Lord gives us the strength, but it's never just a sit back. It's not a sit back relationship with God. It's pressing forward. And you know what? God gives us the grace for that. But if you're not meditating on the word of God day and night, as long as you're awake, and then even you're like, Lord, speak to me in the night, right? You will not be this fruitful tree. You will not be that tree that yields constant fruit and then whose leaves are so vibrant and alive and do not wither. So this is so, so, so important. Like, never let your thoughts just go. You know, if you do, and I was noticing that, I was like, it was interesting because I was like, Lord, what's going on with me? And I just felt like him, like, simple, like what you just taught the other, you know, week, right? Be thankful. I mean, you think that's like number one I'd go to. But I realized I wasn't complaining that I thought knew of, but I wasn't being thankful. Isn't that weird? I didn't know that. Like, I was like, I haven't been thankful? I didn't know that. Because you know when you're not, maybe it's more of a blah state I think I was in. I was like more of a blah because I was disappointed. So it's, sorry, I get distracted with that walking around. Feel free, but I just feel distracted tonight. I just want to pray actually a second because I feel very distracted. So I just command all distraction to go in Jesus' name. Any spirit that wants to cause distraction, pain in people's bodies, whatever it is, I just command it to go now in the name of Jesus. And I just ask your Holy Spirit to come and take your place and make this your place tonight, God. And help me focus, Lord. Help me just focus. Focus on what you're saying in Jesus' name. Yeah. So, meditating on the Lord, on the Word of God day and night. Meditating, watching what you're thinking. So, what I was doing was, I wasn't complaining. As far as I knew, probably was, but anyway, you know, in my head, but thankfulness, right? Just to be thankful and meditating on his words day and night, his promises to me. And that is so important, obviously, if you're going to be this kind of tree. Who wants to be this kind of tree? Right? Can you imagine? You're yielding fruit in every season, and then your leaf does not wither. And in all you do, you will prosper. Now, prosper doesn't mean I'm going to be rich all the time or everything I do is perfect. No. In God's eyes, you'll prosper. So if you're doing those, if you're not, you know, that kind of stuff, that you just want to stay away from the world's ways and the world's wisdom and the world's unbelief, or Christians, unfortunately, like we know a lot of Christians like that too, that you will, in his eyes, prospering is so awesome. Like Joseph and I were been discussing what is prosperous to the world and what's prosperous in the kingdom, right? Like Joseph, you were saying, when you say in the world, if you say you're content, it means in the world, it means, oh, you've given up. You have no goals.
Because if you're satisfied, how could you want to do anything else?
Right? So somehow in the world's eyes, yeah, if you're, oh, I'm satisfied, I'm content, then people are like, you're not a go-getter then.
You're not right? successful, yeah.
You're not successful. But that's not with God. God is like, if you make my word your delight and you meditate on me then you are like a tree that is planted by the water. That means you're constantly filled. You're constantly filled with his life. You're constantly going to have fruits, and your leaves will never wither. In all that you do, you will prosper. In all that you do. So you're, Mom, are you okay? Oh, okay. Can you pause it? Really? You have a bad stomachache? Can we pray for you? No. Yeah, I want to be that. I want to be that tree. Yeah. I want to be that tree so much. I'm telling you, so many pastors or so many people, they say they're burned out, or they have to leave the ministry because they're burned out, or they're still in ministry, but they're burned out. Oh, that's just so sad, right? Because if we're doing this, right, we're staying in the streams, we're staying in the Holy Spirit and just letting him fill us and bring life to us. And also our first love, right? Like if you think about when you're burned out, that means that fire, that first love fire is gone. If you're burned out, it means the light is gone.
I think they're doing it in their own strength.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, because people get led by the need instead of led by the Spirit, right? And I think anybody can do that, not just people in ministry, but we can all do that. Like, are we led by the Spirit or led by the need? And sometimes you're like, but the need is so great, but is the Lord calling you to do that right now? Is the Lord calling you to help with that right now? Is the Lord calling you to get involved in that right now? And he might say, that's not your season, right? So I love this line, though. In all he does, he prospers. In all that he does, he prospers because he's a tree that is planted by the stream. So that's amazing. Like, are you kidding me? All he does, he prospers. You know, and that's what I'm saying, like, with the definition of the world of when people say I'm content, like I was just saying before, that's seen as lazy, you're not driven, you don't have goals. Well, in the world.
In business, yeah.
But, or those that are, whatever, successful. Yeah. Successful in the world means you're rich. Like, the world would never say someone's successful if they didn't make much money. Let's say they were an amazing teacher, changing lives, you know, making such a big difference. Does the world say they're successful? No, they don't. So I think we also got to know, where am I getting my definition of success? Success is what God says is success, which is awesome. Right? Like you could be, let's say your job is to collect trash, right? You collect trash, but in every single day, you're like, Lord, who are we going to talk to today as I collect the trash? What are we going to do? You know, he is the same, let's say Mother Teresa or Heidi Baker, the same as Heidi Baker. If he's following the Lord and Heidi Baker's following the Lord, at the end, the Lord sees them the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. You followed me. The world would say, trash man, seriously? Where's your education? Where's your money? Where's your house? You know, where's your boat? Where's your car? No, nothing. But what God says is prosperous is a man or a woman that just stays planted and meditates on his word day and night and meditates on how good he is and meditates the truth, right? And then he prospers in all that he does.
I think spiritual prospering is really just always feeling so much peace and fulfillment.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yes.
That's what I really think it is. To wake up. It's like, yeah. Wow. Today's such an amazing day.
Yes.
And really feel it. That's what spiritual prospering
yeah.
is. That's what prospering to God is. That's what it
means. Yeah. Because, you know, like, you know, for me, I think in this last couple of weeks, whatever, just, or maybe I don't know what's longer. I don't know. You know, time, it's so weird, right? So it's kind of like when people say, so what do you do here? And I'm like, you know, I mean, I know what I do, but it's not in the world's eyes. It's weird. You know, it's weird. And I live with my parents and I'm 54 and almost. But you know what I mean? Like according to the world,
society would say something about that, but God
right.
says that's what
exactly. Right. Yeah. So I'm doing this, guys. So I'm prosperous. And if you guys are doing this, you're prosperous. Were you going to say something?
Well, I just think it's funny that the world's standards are the counsel of the
Yes.
So any standard like that says, oh, you live with your parents and you're a pastor, that's lame.
Right.
The council,
right.
The council of the wicked. Like,
there you go.
Maybe like, okay, you got to do something with your life now. Like,
yeah.
Figure it out. But
yeah.
God's like, no, you're prospering 100%.
Whoa.
Right.
It's cool.
Yes. And for all of us, right? For all of us that are, we're following the Lord. That's all we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow him.
Yeah.
And then he says at the end, well done, good and faithful servant, you know? It's not like now I got, okay, I better go get a teaching job because I need a job right now. Da, da, da. No, if he's not saying that or whatever he's saying, I'm not going to do it. He's going to be like, why'd you waste all your time that? I didn't tell you to do that.
Yeah.
Well, the world says I needed it, you know, and I need to have my own place because I shouldn't be living with my parents, you know? And he's like, I didn't say that. I didn't give you that. I didn't tell you to do that. Like, I had something else for you. I don't want to miss what God has for me, you know?
Right.
So anyway, again, I'm letting you inside of kind of how God ministers to me and walks me through getting me free. And then I'd love to share it with you guys. So, okay, let's look on John 15, 1 through 11. So this is Amplified. Not Amplified. This is the Passion. And I love how it, you know, we're used to that. I am the vine, you're the branches, da 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 da. But it's so cool to read it in a different way of, you know, I view the Passion Translation, just want to say this in the beginning, as more of a paraphrase or as a commentary or like as a dictionary. I'm looking, there's a lot of words in it. So I'm using it. I just wanted to say that little thing. So here we go. I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. So Jesus is saying this. I am the true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. I feel like we've been in that season a year and a half of being pruned. But this is good news, right? The words I have spoken over you, you have already cleansed you, right? So the words, the truth that he had spoken was just cleansing them and pruning them. So you must remain, I love this, you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. Just like the Ezekiel 47 and Psalm 1. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, again from Psalm 1, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you, of course, is my favorite verse. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must, this is so beautiful, continually let my love nourish your heart. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live, this is Jesus saying this, I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. And this is where it all started for me last Sunday. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Unbelievable. I wanted to go through here and like and ask kind of questions with this. So, you know, if you ever thought of pruning as a bad thing, it's not, right? It's so that you will yield a greater harvest. So when it seems like, I remember we had this, we went through a pruning in 2008. It had just happened to be the year of the economic collapse. and we were moving to a new country. We lost, I think, was it 60% of our financial support? The job we were supposed to have didn't work out. And then Dave got this job that was for like a bachelor's status. It was like we started with zero. So we went from a church in Qatar, discipling believers, and then we go to Kuwait, which we knew God spoke to go to Kuwait, and we know no one. We knew one person, actually. We knew one person. We had no community, no church, hardly any money. We were in a new country. It was like, I felt like I was like sticks. Like, you know the plant where just the sticks are? I felt like that was me. I'm a stick plant, you know? And so, I mean, you're some of your bushes, Mom, and you know, I'm like, that might be me now. No. But I feel like we're at that again. So in 2008 to 2010, we were kind of going through that. But then, Lord, quickly, within a few months, we had a community. It was amazing in Kuwait. And then it took 2 years to get the job that then Dave had for the next 11. So that was awesome. But, I just keep saying that, okay, we're in a pruning season, but we're going to yield a greater harvest. Like, there's going to be more fruit in our lives. And that's just amazing. So this one, number four. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. Okay. So what does that look like? Like practically in your lives, what does that look like to live in life union with Jesus? What does that look like? Anybody can tell me, like, how do you do that? How do you live in life union with Jesus? Alex.
Kind of following the verse that you've always given me, just asking him before I do anything.
Yeah. Like, that's so good.
What do you want me to do? What do I want to do?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it's so good. So when we're on our own, when we're just saying, I kind of want to do my life the way I want to do it. Yeah, I want to be a Christian. But I really want my way. I really like this way, so I'm going this way. Again, you know, people, they want to be Christians, but they don't want God's way. They want their own way. Interesting. Because listen to this. So your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Now, it won't be fruitless to the world, but it's fruitless to God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yikes! Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like prosperity in the kingdom looks different than prosperity in the world. Mm-hmm. Literally, only in the world is money. Money, success, and power, right? It's mm-hmm. And we don't want to get programmed. Remember, God spoke to us about not being programmed. Programming by the world, we've been programmed that this is what success looks like, right? So if you're not in life union with him, which like what Alex says is talking to him about everything, involving him in everything in your life, asking about everything, even those things you think, I kind of know this one. I don't need to ask the Lord about that. I actually want my own way on this because your way is not working, Lord. Sometimes we have to wait. Like we want it now. Well, I waited a week or I waited a year, whatever it is. It's time for me to step in. It's time for me to step in. But guess what that means? So your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Intimately joined. Joined means he is the vine, we are the branches. We're not the vine. We are the branches, right? We're out here. So how else, does anybody else have another example what life union, living intimately joined to the life of Jesus, what's that look like? And anybody have something different?
It's just living your whole life thinking about him all the time.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Looking like him.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And representing him.
Well. Yes, Mom, exactly.
Yeah, and just, I mean, he's your best friend.
Yeah.
You always want to be with him, you want to be talking to him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just think it's a life together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when we had our plum tree,
yeah.
Jesus is like so cool, the way he talks about plants and
yeah.
trees.
I know.
We had this beautiful plum tree, but it got so heavy with plums.
Right.
That it broke off, huge branch broke, and I mean hundreds
wow.
and hundreds of plums were just down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They could never, you know, the ones that had already, you know, were fruit. I mean, that were ripe. You know, you could eat those. But none of the others could ever get to that where they should be.
Yep,
you know?
Right.
And then
because there was not proper pruning done.
Right. Well,
so all the fruit was wasted even.
Yeah. And with, like roses, like you prune the roses, then they come back even bigger.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But even if, so now there's some roses that are big, but there's some that are still buds. But if you cut off the buds now, they're not going to open up.
Right. Yeah.
And they never reach their true potential.
Yeah.
You know, but if they stay in the bush and you water them, beautiful roses.
Amazing.
Yeah. But it's so true. I
mean, yeah.
And even if you cut them at the wrong time.
Yep.
You know? So.
And also, it's like, let's say that that branch just kind of fell off. It's like, you know, the branch from the flower, whatever, the flower bush. And then it's like on its own, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would die.
Can't do much over there.
So, like, why do we think when we just want to do our lives that way, like, how are we going to live? How are we going to get our nourishment? How are we going to be fruitful? How are we going to receive from the Lord if He is the vine and we are the branches and we just want to jump off and be our own branch?
How about you do? You cut a rose.
Yeah.
And you want to take it in the house. You don't put it in
water. Yep.
Source of life.
Yep.
It's going to die.
Yep.
You know? It's
yeah.
All
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my friends has in a really, really, really difficult marriage anyway, and the Lord, and she's been married a long time, maybe like over 20 years now, but there was a time where she wanted to leave and the Lord said, you know, whatever, you know, you choose. And she's like, I don't want to choose. I want you to choose for me. I don't want to choose this. And so, but it's still, it's like she's dying daily, right? And then the Lord said, so one day she woke up and He said, I'm defleshing you. That's very graphic, you know, but so you're hearing, oh yeah, I'm dying with Christ, whatever, I'm no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But when you think of defleshing, like that's going deep, you know, just dying to, you know, whatever it is in your life. Again, the world says marriage needs to look like this, like a fairy tale. But if it doesn't, then I just give it up. No, that's not what God says. You know, it's like what marriage is me loving Dave every day, regardless if he loves me, you know, regardless. Hey, David. you know what I'm saying? Like it's this thing that the world promises and even Christians promise, that, you know, you get your needs met, you need to be fulfilled, you know, they need to serve you, or whatever, it's in work, or if it's in marriage and friendships. Jesus never said that, actually. He just said, receive my love and love.
Yeah.
Receive my love and serve. Jesus himself did not come to be served, but to serve.
Yeah.
Now, if we're following him, because people are like, well, then I'll become a doormat. No, not if you're following him. And maybe Jesus was a doormat at times. But it wasn't because, oh, I'm insecure and I'm just a doormat. No, I am just following him. And life is not about me. Life is about showing Jesus to the world. Life is about love. Sometimes when I'm in difficult circumstances or there's a difficult situation going on, I'm like, wait, what do I do again, Lord? What do I do? He's like, love. Well, what if they say something rude, or what if they're trying to get info from me so they can spread it around, or, you know, and then he's like, love, 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 love. Minister to that person. Love that person. Right? So this is what this whole passage is about. It's not living for us. It's letting, he is the vine and we are the branches. Right? So if a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But But if you live in, this is cool, if you live in life union with me, and my words, again, we go back to Psalm 1, my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. How many times have you heard that misquoted? Like, I asked, see that verse? I wanted that. He didn't give me. I asked him for that spouse. I asked him for that house. I asked him for that job and he didn't give it to me. I'm done with Christianity. Do you know how many people I know that said that? Way too many. Way too many. I didn't get what I wanted. God doesn't love me. Right? So many. And maybe we've said it at times, but we repented. We repented, right? Because we're here. But if you think about it, if you're living in life union with him, you're living in life union with him, you're talking to him about everything, you're like, Lord, I just want what you, I mean, literally, why are we here on the planet? Why are we here? Yes, to bring his kingdom to the earth and love him and love others. Love him. If we keep it this simple, I think we'll avoid a lot of problems, you know? Or we grab onto something like, I will work at that ministry school. You know, it's like, I will work there, Lord. We're working there, right? And then, no, you're not. Okay! Like, I mean, again, I don't want what he doesn't want. I mean, I want to wait for whatever he has. I mean, I am. I'm in life union with him. So if I'm waiting, if I'm in life union with him, what do I have to wait? Why am I waiting for anything? There's nothing to wait for. I'm in life union with him. It can't get any better. It can't get any better. That, let's say Dave and I, you know, maybe something we'd love to do is have our own ministry school, right? And let's say I have my own house. Am I feeling any different? No. I'm always, right now, I can have complete life union with him. I can have full intimacy with him right now. And I'm not waiting for something to make me feel better. I'm not waiting for that to bring me the peace. I'm not waiting for that to bring me in the joy. Right now, the most amazing thing we can have right this second and every day, no matter what season you're in, is we can have the fullness of joy, the fullness of his life, the fullness of his peace right now. Yeah. Right now. Yeah. Right now. Like my friend is in that very, 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 very difficult marriage. Right now, the fullness of the peace, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is available to her. Is that awesome or what? We don't have to wait for anything to have all these things. And I love, oh, again, we're going to read this one, Galatians, not yet, 1 second. But I love that we don't have to wait for anything to have the perfect peace, to have the intimacy with him. Right. Is this amazing? I mean, I know you guys already clapped, but I just have to, like, I'm like, incredible. The world says, right, here we go. The world says, or other Christians say, when you get the house, when you get to buy a house, then you'll be happy. When you get that perfect spouse, then you'll be happy. When you get the kids, then you'll be happy. Then you have to have the kids to go to Harvard, right? Then when you get into Harvard and they get a full scholarship, then you'll have the peace and the joy. Then when the, I mean, it's just like, it doesn't ever end, right? It never ends. Or mom, maybe you're thinking, when we win that case, then I'll have the peace of the Lord. Then I'll be happy again when I look out my kitchen. No, right now, you can have that joy, that peace, even if that thing never existed. Right now. I mean, who can offer us anything like that in the world? No one. Right? No one. Yes.
I just have to say that when I was going through a hellacious divorce, God gave me unbelievable peace through
wow.
the entire storm. When it didn't look like I should have that peace
yeah.
in my soul,
amazing.
In my heart, I had that peace and I wasn't allowing my joy to be stolen. So mm-hmm. even through that fire, I had
amazing
peace.
That's a huge testimony. That's so good. And you think about Paul, right? When Paul wrote most of the books in the Bible, most of the books in the New Testament, sorry, they were in prison. He was in prison. And he wrote in Philippians, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. In prison.
Yeah.
He's alone. Prisons back then? I don't think they were playing basketball and, you know, in Bible studies, you know, like they do. I mean, I'm not saying prison is good here, but compared to what Paul was in, you know, and they were making sure his life was bad because he was preaching the gospel and that's what they hated. So can you imagine? He's saying it then. Everything is possible no matter what. Like if you're in a jail cell and you're in solitary confinement, this is possible. this fullness of joy is possible. So that's what I'm saying, that the topic is, if it's possible in God, I want it.
Yeah.
If it's possible in God, I want it. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Joseph.
Well, it's kind of like, why do we want to go, like, if I say, man, I've been working a lot, I want to go on vacation, or you think about a vacation you went on, you're like, man, I wish I could go back. You could care less about the vacation. You're only
right.
thinking about how it makes you feel.
Yes.
That's what God wants to make you feel.
Amen.
Every
that's
day.
Right.
And that's what I've learned. Very interesting. Because I've been like, oh man, that vacation was so fun. I really wish we could go back, all our family. But
right.
you're only thinking about how it makes you feel.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so that joy is available right now.
Yeah. That, and that freedom. And that,
that freedom and that, oh, that break.
The
oh,
air right. of the
yeah.
ocean and all that.
Yeah.
That's
being cool. refreshed. Because how are we... How do we get refreshed, right? Where's that one that says he's our life source? Seven.
Further down.
Oh, right there. But
oh, live nourished. That one is
or,
10.5. No.
Oh, well. It's somewhere.
As your source, verse 5.
5.
As your source.
Okay, yeah. As you live in union with me, as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. Fruitfulness will stream from within you as you live as him with him as your source, right? So the vacation isn't my source.
Yeah.
The house isn't my source. My job isn't my source. My spouse isn't my source. My kids aren't my source. My money is not my source. What else? Is there something I'm not saying?
But if you're not fruitful and you're not feeling peace, then you know he's not your source. You can just work backwards very easily.
There you go. I love working backwards. Math girl here. Work backwards. Say it again. Say that again.
If I forgot what he said. Oh, if you're not feeling fruitful, if you're not having peace, then you know that he's not your source. Something else is.
Yes.
So it's very easy to trace back and then just like repent and figure out what that is.
Yeah.
But I feel like in the church, we're so accustomed to just doing whatever, like, just if someone says it, oh, like, yeah, that's true, but like maybe God didn't say that.
Right.
So it's like we always like accept these ways of living, whether it's like what you're saying, like prosperity gospel or a different thing, and we accept it, but it's not like the fruitful life that God has for you.
Right.
It's like we have to trace back. Wait, maybe it's just that ideology that's my source, not actually God.
Right.
It's like a certain thing that I believe, not actually God.
Right.
So
that's so good.
Or the religionist.
Yeah.
The religion that you have been spoken to your whole life.
Yeah.
And you think that's the source of your power. That's the source of what's been preached to you. And then you take a step back and you're like, no.
Yeah.
That source is in love and grace and not in law.
Amen.
And
That's right. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Because religion will make you feel dry.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't feel this connection with God anymore. Okay. I'll finish this one. And then we'll go to Galatians. Oh, yeah.
Also, I've done this where it's like I wake up, oh, Lord, thank you that I'm so content, and I'm not at all. And
oh, that's good.
And you can tell in your actions and what you think
that's
about
good.
And you're not. So a lot of people will lie to themselves and think, no, I'm super happy, and then you're not. So it's to be honest with God and
that's
don't think.
Good.
This takes a long time to get to a place where you're not worried about stuff, and it's a daily thing.
Yeah.
Don't think like, man, if I feel like this, it's always a battle. The enemy always is trying to distract you.
Yeah.
But you can't, you have to be honest with God and say,
that's so good.
How am I feeling? I don't want to fake it.
Yep.
I want to be honest.
Don't cover it with like a Christianese thing. Like, your grace is so good, but like you don't actually believe it.
No.
Yeah.
That's like, very, very important.
Christianese.
Yeah, that's very, very, very important. You know? If you don't feel it, just talk to the Lord. Go deep. We're going to talk about diving deep. Yeah. So, go ahead. Going deeper. Yeah, going deeper with the Lord. Okay, so obviously at this part, you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done, but you're like, you're connected to him, right? So all you want is what he wants. So you're just asking for what he wants and what he's shown you wants to do. So... That's when that...
And God's smart. He's kind of like I like to say the word savage. He'll test you. He'll say, what do you want? And he wants to see, are you going to ask for material things or are you going to ask for more spiritual things?
Right.
It looks like a puzzle. Like, I've spoken parables. There's a lot of stuff in the model that I see. Oh, God's actually really trying to test people to see what they're going to ask for.
Yeah.
Interesting. I always thought that was interesting.
Like with Solomon, right?
Yeah.
Solomon did good.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Because that's what God, he's trying to test us in certain ways. He's like, I wonder if they're going to ask them for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples to glorify my Father. That's so cool. I love each of you. Of course, this is the most amazing. I mean, you know, I love each. Jesus is saying this, guys. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me.
Wow.
Same love. I've been asking for more and more revelation on this, just that it would go from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I know we've talked about this, but I just wanted to say this again. So this is, if anybody ever doubts God's love for them, you need to read the Bible. read this verse 1,000 times a day. Say it, meditate it day and night, day and night, day and night. Jesus said he loves you the same way he loves the Father. He doesn't love the Father more than he loves you. He loves you the same. And the Father, then again, we go into John 17, and the Father loves us the same way he loves Jesus. Can you believe that? It's the same love. Love is love. I know that's what the people say, but love truly is love. It's like there's no levels to love. In the world there is, but in the kingdom, it's all fullness. It's like it's full love. It's always love. It's full, complete, whole love. The same love that the Father has for the Son, that beautiful Trinity, is the same love they have for us.
Yeah.
And people are doubting, does God love me?
Mm-hmm.
How do I know he loves me? Well, Jesus died on, as you saw, like as we see, as we read, you saw in the Passion of the Christ, like he went through that brutal death for you. But this right here. And if you don't believe it, Lord, I want to believe this. Can you help me take it from here to here? And I'm asking that. I'm asking that more and more, Lord. Give me more revelation. I want to walk in that love. And I don't love like that yet. I don't love others like that yet. Again, there's not grades of love. You know, like I love my spouse like this. I love my friends like this. I love my mom and dad like this. I love my kids like this. And then I love the world like this. No, because Jesus doesn't do that. He loved Judas the same as he loved. Jesus loved Judas the same as he loved the Father. Judas. That's crazy. Yes, Marlon. Yeah. Yes. Yes. The betrayer of betrayers, right? Amazing. Okay. So you must continually let my love nourish your hearts. So I want to talk about that. Nourish your hearts. How do we do that? How do we continually, because I want practical. How, if you don't, do you have any ideas? Let's say you're not living in that fullness and you're not feeling like that fruitful love for people, you know, where you feel God's heart for them, right? Your enemies and your friends. How do you do that? You must continually let my love nourish your hearts.
I find, I don't know, I just kind of jumped out of me, but like you have to let.
Oh, ooh, that's good.
Like it's always there, but the reason why we don't feel it in its fullness is because we have walls up.
Wow. Yep.
It.
Yep.
Nourish our hearts. So whether that's like from what we've experienced around people or like maybe we don't love ourselves fully.
Oh, yeah.
Or
we partner with hate.
Partner with hate. Or we gossip about other people all the time. Like there's like walls, kind of like you said, blockages.
Yeah.
So we can like sometimes feel his love like in a place like this, but then when we go away, we don't. So,
yes.
I don't know. But just, I think that jumped out at me. You have to let it nourish your heart.
Yeah.
So give it a space, give it a time, and give it like no walls, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
Good.
Can we open that door? I'm so hot. Are you guys cold?
Like the bully?
Okay, go ahead. I'm never freezing. Never. Okay. Oh, Emma! Yes. Oh, that's good.
Sometimes even if I'm reading the Bible,
Yeah.
And I'm taking in the words and I'm reading it, it feels good to read it, but
yeah.
I'm still not still.
Yes.
I've still got this other thing I'm thinking about while I'm still.
Yes.
When I get still, and often that is when I just put my AirPods in and just let worship come.
Yeah.
So because it helps me to get still.
Yeah.
To get into his presence and then you get taken into his love.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's in that place that I think you just nourish you, and then from that place then you can get out into your day and be.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have in my office I have what's that Hawaiian thing?
Oh,
it's tiki?
Lei.
The hula skirt?
No, no, the Hawaiian, the male Hawaiian dress.
Yes.
Okay.
The hula Hawaiian.
The what?
The hula Hawaiian.
It's very thin and light. I use that because it's thin and light. I put it over my head.
Oh.
And
that's cool.
And I'm really, even though I got the computer there with a lot of buzzing stuff happening, the same place, the same room, with all that. But the moment I put that on, I'm in the energy.
Wow. You put it on your head?
I'm just covering myself.
Beautiful.
That's cool.
And it could be anything. I have something that looks like a Jewish thing, but it's a good thing, and I will use that one. But I use that, even though it's not long, but because it's light and thin. But the moment I put that on,
wow.
If I don't, I could spend time with the Lord, and right away, as soon as I feel sort of the thing out, I just get distracted.
But
when I put that on,
wow.
I'm in a place with it. It's just a real private.
That's so cool.
About it. You find yourself, okay, this is what I'm getting over. This is what I'm getting
Yeah. That's so good. Wow, I love that.
I feel like a good thing is like, I think Jesus demonstrated us best to us is like when he said, I need to go spend time with my Father.
Yes.
Right? And
yeah.
It's like, I feel like that's the biggest thing what we can pull out of what everyone's saying and even hear is like, you need to actively go seek him in order for him to even tear down those barriers that those walls that you put up. Well, if you go seek him actively, you're trying to find his love, you're trying to search after his love so you can get nourished and nourish others, then he's going to tear that down in the process.
Amen. Yeah.
Right? You need to find that peace and that quiet time.
Yeah.
You need to be active and you need to be intentional with
absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
that's
you're never going to feel
intentional.
Feel that,
yeah, that's
feel
that so
nourish.
Good. Totally.
So it's interesting because this expression, remaining in life union with him.
Yeah.
So I think that he's talking about like 24/7 dependency upon him.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you go to church.
Right.
Or you go to a midweek Bible study or you have a 10-minute quiet time or whatever.
Yeah.
I just notice, like when I go down and I train on 1,000 steps, you have these people that are there every day with their coach. And the coach is not just telling them what to do. He's doing it with them, or she's doing it with them. And they're there every day, and that is how they get transformed. And they realize, listen, I mean, if you want to look like the coach.
Yeah, there you go. Ooh, that's good.
If you want to look like the coach, you got to do what the coach does.
That's good.
Christians say they want to look like the coach.
Right, Coach Jesus.
And then they don't do anything that the coach says.
Uh-oh.
No, seriously, Jesus says, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I said. And this is a huge, I mean, this passage is surreal. We know it really, really well. But he talks about what does a mature disciple look like? A mature disciple is one that bears fruit all the time.
That's right.
Right?
It's amazing.
Trees do not bear fruit all the time. They bear fruit seasonally. But the promise from the Old Testament is that this type of tree will bear fruit every single month.
It's amazing.
Constant bearing of fruit.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we're told You will know them by their fruit.
Right.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, how the fruit that a life is producing is what makes a difference.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy when people who have no, they're not good coaches, mm-hmm. you know, and yet they sit there and they tell me, mm-hmm. well, your diet's wrong and you're this or you're that. And I'm looking at them going, I have no idea what you're talking about. You have no fruit.
Right.
But you're talking like it's crazy, you know. You should listen to people, you know. It's like you want to get fit. You get behind somebody who's fit, and
yeah.
you say whatever you do, I'm gonna do.
Right. right.
And it's the same at, you know, all of this language of constant dependency.
Yeah.
If you want your life to look like Jesus' life, then you have to live like Jesus lived.
Yep. Yep.
People think, no, I don't have to live like Jesus lived. I can just have a profession of faith, and it doesn't matter how I live.
Yep.
That's a false gospel, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
The gospel
yeah.
that says, I don't need to depend, I don't need to obey, I don't need to do what he says.
Yep.
And this whole passage is all about obedience,
yep.
and it's about if you live a life where if you live a life of this kind of dependency, then you absolutely are going to have this fruitfulness
yep.
that is coming out of your life.
Always, yeah.
You know, always. So I just think I like it when paraphrases remaining in life union with me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times people can do really well on Sunday and then Monday. Then by Tuesday, they've got a flat tire spiritually. And the whole time, I mean, we used to partner with somebody in ministry years ago, and it was like he would come to our meetings every week, and we'd have these long meetings, 6, 7, 8 hours, Holy Spirit, everybody laid out, and he would pump up his tire, and then
with not him, spend time with God all week.
Nothing, all week. He would just come in for an injection, and then he would limp into the meeting a week later. Oh, I just need to be filled. Oh, I just need a prophetic word. Oh, I mean, many charismatics live like this.
Yeah.
They live this, they don't live an abiding life.
No.
They don't know how to live an abiding life because we've been told in the charismatic church,
right.
well, just go have another encounter.
Right. Or get another prophetic word.
Go get another prophetic
yeah.
word. Go get another impartation.
Yep.
And, you know, they're being told, you know, it's like
yeah.
Botox. You know, can actually look really good if you live a healthy lifestyle and treat the body the way it's supposed to be treated. Or you can do whatever you want and you can get plastic surgery and Botox and try to do it that way. And that's actually how many people think the Christian life is. I just need another conference. I just need another, you know, I just need to be filled up again. And they never learn how to abide.
Yeah, because look at this is what this is possible here.
Yes.
This is all possible.
And it's remaining in life union is learning how to live in such a way so that the tire
yes,
does
right.
not just leak every couple of days.
Right.
So by Wednesday, we're really sucking air.
Yep.
We're really,
yep.
you know, I had an experience this week where I realized that my fitness level, I didn't know that I was as unfit as I was until I was in the presence of a man who was so much more fit than me, and I'm just trying to stay up with this guy.
Skiing. Yeah.
We were climbing, and I could not stay up with this guy, even though the day before he'd done a 12-hour day. He'd done a 12-hour day with a climb, and the most insane thing I've ever thought of, he did the day before, and now I can't even keep up with this guy. And I'm sitting there going, I do not have the fitness
yeah.
to stay with this guy. I just, you know, and it's not until you get into a place where you have no fruit
yeah.
that you realize, and people say, well, Dave, do not compare yourself by the crowd.
That's
people
right.
People say, well, Dave, you're doing better than this person, that person. That's not the standard
right.
in life. You get behind somebody who is really fit, if you're doing fitness, and you conform your life to theirs.
Yeah.
Spiritually, we don't look around and say, I'm doing better than half the church, therefore I should be encouraged. No, we fix our eyes on
Jesus,
who is the author and perfecter of our faith.
Yep.
And that's our standard, and that's who we measure ourselves by.
Amen.
And I realized, you know, it was a wake-up call. I realized I'm kidding myself, you know, that I have, you know, it's something in the natural, but I think there's a spiritual lesson there, and I realized there are things that I need to do right now. Did it this morning. I went and suffered because I realized, it was a type of training I don't normally do, but I did it because I'm like, I have a real weakness in this one area, which was, I wasn't sore the next day. I had endurance. I just had no cardiovascular fitness. Mm. It was really a lung issue, right? So I'm like, okay, so I'm going to focus on what the need is. This is just in the natural. Mm-hmm. But it's like, this is what we're supposed to do spiritually.
Amen.
If I don't have any patience to deal with my circumstances or I keep struggling in this certain area, it's like, okay, I need to focus on this.
Yep.
Right? And so I do think we have to get this picture of this is a constant.
Yeah.
Jesus is interested in, I don't know how many hours there are in a week, but you know, he's not interested in 15 good hours in a week.
No.
Or 10.
No.
And we say, hey, I'm doing 10 good weeks. That's like 9 more than most Christians are. And we find ourselves encouraged. And he's saying, unless you are remaining in life union with me. Why? For I remain in life union with you.
I know. I was just going to say that. Yeah.
He is never not fully engaged pursuing us.
Yeah.
With all the resources of heaven there. He's literally like walking around with us with every resource for everything we need, always there.
Crazy.
Doing his side. So if we fail and if we don't bear fruit, it's always on our side of the equation.
That's right.
We can never ever say,
blame him, never.
He failed.
That's right.
He didn't come up with his part.
Yep.
He is always remaining in life union with us.
That's right. That's crazy.
It's a crazy thought. I mean, there's a lot of revelation.
I know.
I like paraphrases like this because they cause you to think
differently
outside of the familiarity of verses we're not living anyway.
Yeah.
So the fact that I get a paraphrase that convicts me of the fact that I'm not doing what I was familiar with.
I know, that's why I brought
it. Now I'm convicted in a whole new way.
So also he says, I'm almost done. So if you keep my commands, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others. So it's love and love. Love others as I have loved you. So those are the commands. Love, 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 right? But I love that he's not asking us to do anything that he didn't do.
Yeah.
Right? He says, if you keep my commands, you will live in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. That's on the earth. That's what he was doing when he was living here. Continually lived nourished and empowered by the Father's love. I could even ask him this week, what does that look like? And we had a few examples from Sal and Emma and Alex. But even asking the Lord, how do I do that? You know, how do I live nourished and empowered by your love? And then, of course, so again, like, this is amazing, right? So my purpose for telling you all these things was so that the joy that I experienced, the joy that Jesus experienced, would fill our hearts. Mm-hmm. We can experience the joy of Jesus, Jesus's joy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was he ever shaken? No. Was he in constant joy? Yes. That is what we can have.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, Joseph.
I just want to say one thing, adding on to that, and then what Aubrey said about letting, like, what did you say about letting the love of God?
Yeah. Oh, letting, yeah.
Letting, yeah. Like
the
letting
way,
it.
The way you let it is, you ever have time with God, and then right after you're super worried about something? It just happened to me. You have to watch your thoughts.
Yes.
You feel God's love. And all of a sudden, like, you're worried, oh my gosh, money, money, money. Or all this other stuff that you're worried about and angry about, because there's stillness with God and having a good time with God, Then there's going out.
There you go.
So how are you going to do when you go out? So it's
how do you live?
It's watching
in life union.
And if you the enemy knows, hey, I'm just going to instill this little thing about this subject.
Yeah.
And if you go off on 20 minutes, which I've done, just thinking about it for 20 minutes, I'm like, oh, that was an attack of the enemy. So you have to learn to know what thoughts are going to lead to 30 minutes of thinking about something that's not going to be beneficial.
Yes.
Because you will not be in God's love at that time. So you'll have to say, Lord, I command that thought to go. Recognize the thoughts
Amen.
That get you distracted.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
That's so good. Oh, absolutely. That's so good.
Bill Johnson that said, at any given time, I'm 15 minutes away from being clinically depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he lets his thinking, you know, I mean, he's illustrating the point.
Yeah.
That
you let your thoughts go?
Anyone.
You let your thoughts
anyone.
Go.
Yeah. Anyone.
Yeah.
Can you go to the next slide? Okay, go ahead.
I want to add something really quickly just on what he said. The fun thing is, like, God has the respect with us to, like, he's not just going to, like, consistently berate us. Right? He's not going to, like, get into our minds. And, like, he will, but in, like, a healthy way, right? He has boundaries. There's respect between us, right? He respects us and respects whatever it is that we want to hide from him.
True.
Seriously, right?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, the enemy only comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's
he
right.
He doesn't care about your boundaries. He doesn't care about how
there
he
you
get
go.
In your head. He will get in your head, and he will destroy it.
Yes.
That's the thing. That's like it, he. There is no boundaries for him. There's nothing that's off limits.
That's
right.
True.
And he will get in your head, and he will rampage.
Yep.
If you allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the revelation that I've been having. Like, there is no boundaries with the enemy.
Yeah.
There's no line that he will not cross.
Right.
Because
that's
God is coming for your soul, and the devil's coming for your soul too, imagine how valuable you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
So these thoughts are so important.
And it's just the enemy knows you well. We'll know what thoughts get you completely out of whack completely.
Those are them.
So like what Pastor Dave said, there's actually 168 hours in a week.
I want it.
So in that 168 hours in a week, how often are you in alignment with Jesus' thoughts, with having a good attitude, having the right positive outlook, and then how much time are you allowing the enemy to put the negative thoughts in or to stay wallowing in that negativity towards someone else?
Yeah.
So I see it, and the way that I work, what your question that you asked earlier, is how do you stay in communion with God?
Yeah.
Is I do it exactly what he said through my thoughts.
Yeah.
And aligning them and having them be as harmonious and in line with Jesus and being positive.
Amen.
Anything that is negative is from the enemy.
Yep. Yep.
Very well.
I want to show you guys, and this is again the passion version. And look at this. So this is how we know, like you were saying, sometimes we think, oh yeah, I'm content, I'm happy, I'm peaceful, I'm joyful, I'm thankful. But look at this. Like, and then you're like, but the fruit isn't there. So, but the fruit produced, this is Galatians 5:22. This is ESV and then Passion. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows. It's not this. It's on a slight grin. That's not joy. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Right? Just like when Jesus was in the storm, he subdued, that was the peace. He spoke peace to the storm. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart. And strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities. This is cool. For they are meant to be limitless.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, like, you know, sometimes when you go, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, blah, blah, blah. But when you look at these, you're like, this is fruit. But this is cool too. It's this fruit, and it's fruit of, you're going to see fruit in your life. Like, we want to be sharing. We want to be leading people to the Lord. We want to be discipling people. But that's one fruit. That's kind of like, it's so funny, like, you know, as missionaries, to be like, okay, can you write down all the people you got saved or whatever? And, you know, this fruit word, right? But this is fruit. So So you can have this fruit every day. I love that. Like, you will bear fruit every day as your life, unified in Him, intimately in life union with Him. Yeah. So it's not necessarily what the fruit looks like, the fruit of whatever, but this is every day. This is every day fruit. This is every second fruit that's possible. So again, if it's possible in God, I want it. Right? What are you going
to
say?
And, I think, I just have this thought that when we live in that way, people will want what
yes.
they have. And then
right?
they can be fruit because they want. Right?
I know. Exactly. Yeah. It's true. If every Christian is living like this, and this is what I said. If it's possible in God, I want it. This is all possible. This isn't just, for the saints. This isn't just for the Heidi Bakers of this world or the Dan Mollers or the Todd White. No, this is for everyday people.
Yeah.
This is for everyday people, just like us, right? Okay. Okay, wow. How long have I been going?
A long time.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Okay, I just want to do, a couple more minutes. Pardon? I know. A couple more minutes. So, okay, so there's the free-flowing and then there's the clogging, right? So what can clog? This is what I realized for myself. I had some, you have to let God really do surgery on you sometimes. So like if you have any unforgiveness, you're going to be clogged.
Right.
Now, again, like what Joseph was saying is I know people that totally have unforgiveness. But they say, no, I've totally forgiven them. I've totally forgiven them. And you're like, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no fruit. What is the fruit of the forgiveness, right? Do you kind of, when you see them, you give them a passive-aggressive kind of, dig, or I know when someone tells me they've forgiven me, but they haven't. I know, right? So again, that will clog you. If you're like, I'm not experiencing that fruit. I'm not experiencing the fruits of the Spirit. I'm not experiencing that overflow into people. Look at your life and where you're clogged. Ask God, where am I clogged, right? Do I have unforgiveness? Do I need to release some people? And sometimes, I'm like, I don't know how to get rid of it. But then I'm like, okay, Lord, let's go deeper. So kind of like sitting with Him and going deeper. What's the problem with me? Why can I not release this? Why can I not release this right now? And then I need that word from Him, like, I told you just to love. You don't worry about what they're saying or how they're behaving. I just told you to love. Oh, yeah. Like, oh my gosh, it's so easy. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not this complicated thing. I just need to love. Love is action, right? Okay, what does love look like? Then I'll say, what does love look like in this situation, Lord? Okay, then He'll tell me. So that's what I just saw, that there was a clog in me. So got rid of that clog. So what clogs can be? Sin, obviously, like, think of bad sins. Sin, if you have that addiction, right? Worry, stress. I'm just giving you clogs. Unforgiveness, bitterness. Even if you feel blah, there's a block. There's something that's making you feel blah. You can back it up, Back it up. Why do I feel blah? Why do I feel lifeless? Why do I feel apathetic? Go deeper, deeper. Go deep with God. Don't just go on the surface. I've forgiven them. I'm good. I've forgiven them. I totally have. But meanwhile, when you think of them, you feel like a thing in your stomach, and you never want to see them again. Okay? That's a sign of unforgiveness.
Forgiveness daily, you think? Or is it like...
I think if it's a repeated...
I people daily until you've completely forgiven them. Because that's what I've realized with people in the past. I'm like, man, I'm still so mad at them after I've forgiven them. And then as time goes on, though, I've noticed that I don't have to keep forgiving them.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to forgive until you're not triggered by it.
Yeah, I think asking God for how He views them is the easiest way.
Yeah, so what I say is, Lord, let me see them, and each time when I think of them, I don't have a good feeling, or I want to not see them. I guess if someone's dangerous, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying kind of the normal person.
Yeah.
But Lord, let me see them the way You see them, and let me feel about them the way You feel about them. That is huge.
I think you ought to realize that forgiveness is almost always a process.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, some Christians have this thing, oh, I prayed the prayer and I said this thing and therefore it's done. And that's
right.
Not the way it works.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's what people that have stopped hurting you.
Yeah,
or
true.
Whatever, it's something in the past.
Yeah.
It becomes far more complicated when the offense is daily, regular.
Yeah, true.
Where it just
yeah.
keeps going. And then you need, you know, I mean...
Don't say her name.
I know,
yeah.
But you have your friend who's in that very difficult marriage.
Yeah.
And this, you know, her husband serves up demonic hatred every single day.
Yeah.
And it seems to get worse as the years go by. I mean, he's just demonized.
Yeah.
And so she has to literally learn how to live with spiritual Teflon.
Yep.
So whatever. But like, you know, how do you know that you've fully forgiven somebody? Well,
yeah.
you know, when you push the button and you know, you don't have a button there anymore. It's like
yep.
it doesn't work. There's no reaction. There's no, you know, there's nothing flaring up.
Yeah.
You don't have.
You can pray for their good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember that happening. Like, I remember someone said, well, pray God bless them, but I don't want them to be blessed. Yeah. You know, and then you're like, yikes. Yikes.
Blessing is a big indicator for
it is
yeah.
huge.
So, what our mentor said, it's like the layers of an onion. You just keep peeling it off until finally it's gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, one day, I think it's often the kind of thing where it's like, wait a second. I don't struggle with unforgiveness towards that person anymore.
Yeah.
It's like it got done. It was like,
yeah.
you know, it was finished.
Yeah.
But this is a fantasy that it's actually not a process.
Yeah.
Everything in the Christian life almost
yeah.
is a process.
Yeah.
And people, it's part of our Protestant Christianity. We don't like processes. We like to, I got saved and that's it. Well, the Bible says you get saved, you continually are getting saved, and you will be saved. It's past, it's present, and it's future.
Mm-hmm.
And it says work out your salvation, right, with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
We walk this life out, and yet it says that in the end, those who endure until the end were saved when they prayed a prayer. No, those who endure until the end will be saved, right?
Yeah.
So we don't like process because somehow we think process is in competition with grace. But process means that you've learned how to continually access grace.
There you go. And that
you need it in dependency.
The whole John 15 thing.
You know, anybody that tells you automatic stuff and doesn't talk about process, that's why you don't listen to that. Listen, just get this little machine. You ever seen them?
Oh, my.
You don't have to do anything.
The ab thing?
You put this little thing on, and you're going to have a six-pack. Doesn't matter how you eat or what you do. You just put this little electric.
Really?
And you know what? It's crazy. Because people still believe that lie every single day. You raise your hand. How many people ever, you know, bought that thing on that channel on the TV? It used to be on the TV, now it's on the internet. The device that guarantees you, right?
For sure.
You know, I don't know why it's always app machines, but the new app device, right? You know, we go around this room and we probably spent hundreds of dollars on those devices, right?
Yeah.
And there's one word that matters with all of that, diet. But anyway, nobody wants to know that because that's process. That means you've got to change
right.
to be changed, right?
Yeah.
So,
Sal, what were you going to say?
I had an incredible story that happened several years ago with some friends. I went to Lakeland because I was a survivor.
Yes, yes.
And the last evening, we were in an old